Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hey everyone, welcome to Round Ball Stew. I am Matt Straup. It is Wednesday, December 8th, and that means this is your 5x5 episode, five writers from NBC Sports Edge for 5 minutes each. We will talk about a couple of my favorite under-the-radar rookies and their recent production, a little bit of chaos brewing with the Indiana Pacers, plus some unders in the player prop market with Von Dalzell, and much more on this episode as we welcome in the table setter, Ryan Knaus. Ryan, you look extremely focused. Like, you have a look on your face like you are dialed in and ready to go.
I'm usually smiling and nodding during your intro. Today I was just locked in. What am I gonna say?
You're just like, get through it, Matt. I'm ready to talk. Let's go.
I did hear you say chaos brewing in Indiana, and I would say the chaos has already arrived. There's a lot going on.
It's there. Brewed. Okay.
It has brewed. Yeah. It may be overbrewed at this point. It's a little bitter. Indiana, number 13 in the East. They have a 10-16 record. Only better than the lowly Magic and Pistons. You've got TJ McConnell, who's out for months with wrist surgery to repair a torn ligament. You've got TJ Warren, whose return date is still unknown. And now you get this bombshell report in The Athletic by Shams Charania. It was co-written, Sam Amick, I believe, stating that the Pacers are looking into a full-blown rebuild, that they're going to be very active heading into the trade season, and that they're explicitly looking to move Caris LeVert and DeMontis Sabonis and or Miles Turner. So a huge amount of things in play. So tons of fantasy possibility and angles here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think my initial reaction when I saw that is, I don't know, how easy is it going to, not all those guys are going to be so easy to move, even if they want to do it. That was my initial reaction. Like, what was your initial reaction? Was your initial reaction start thinking of as though those guys are gone soon? Like, how did you react to that?
Well, I mean, in the report, it says that Indiana will be very patient. And yet, anytime a report like this comes out, sourced at the highest level national media with explicit details about who they're looking to move and who they want to get more minutes for, they mention Chris Duarte and Isaiah Jackson as explicitly players. So this is a targeted, intentional thing by the franchise to get this news out, get the ball rolling, get some offers coming in. You know, all the mechanics between why you would do this on the national media, I'm not sure. But clearly, this is going to happen. I mean, the other shoe is going to drop soon-ish. So it may not be, like I mentioned, Isaiah Jackson, and he is a blocks rate superstar. I mean, he's played 6 minutes this season for the Pacers, so let's not go crazy. But, you know, in college, he had a block rate of 12.7%. College is a different game, but the NBA block rate record is 10.8% by Manute Bol in 1988. So just to give you an idea, like he is a blocks dude. In college, per 24 minutes, he averaged 10 points, 8 boards, a steal, and 3 blocks per game. Hence, he's very much on my radar as a player to add. To your point, though, is this going to happen quickly enough that you can stash Isaiah Jackson right now? I don't think so. So you might be better off just picking up O'Shea Brissett, who blew up the other day, get some temporary production, and keep Isaiah Jackson locked into your watch list, because this is going to happen. And the three players that were mentioned explicitly, Caris LeVert, DeMontis Sabonis, and Miles Turner, those are all very movable players. And plenty of contenders or would-be contenders are going to be interested. They're going to be floating offers to Indiana. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if these guys, two of those three, are gone by February.
And Chris Duarte was already trending up, already had been re-added, I should say, in a lot of fantasy leagues after that kind of lull that he hit. But now he's got 7 straight double-digit games, averaging around 13 points, 3.5 boards, 1.4 steals, 1.7 threes in 29 minutes over that stretch, 10 steals in his last 5 games. This is a guy who's already high on before this news broke, and I think, kind of as you alluded to, Ryan, the arrow just starts to point way up for him as this season, you know, spirals toward a rebuild for Indiana.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be, you mentioned the steals. Those are going to be huge because he's not a very efficient shooter yet. I think still figuring out his spots in the NBA, stuff like that. Not very good at the free throw line. can he get enough boards and assists to really flesh that out if he's not shooting well to be more than a top 100 guy? I'm not sure. But certainly the opportunity is going to be there. You know, he's very old for a rookie. He comes in ready made. We've seen him in a starting role already for this team, getting big minutes. So certainly, yeah. I mean, if he's still floating on your waiver wire, which I assume he might be in some leagues, despite this report coming out, just double check that he's not there, because he's going to be valuable for sure. I mean, already probably is putting up low end value. And then with this trade, yeah, or trades potentially brewing, yeah, he could blow up.
So in our remaining minute, Ryan, is there any action you have taken in any of your fantasy leagues or will be taking as a result of this, with guys you've already rostered or guys you would be adding other than Duarte and maybe Isaiah Jackson in a super deep league?
Yeah, those are the two main guys. I mean, if you're streaming value, you could go with O'Shea Brissett, as I said, but that's just temporary. It doesn't super move the needle on these guys because we just don't know where they might go, right? Or what their new role might look like. It doesn't make me very high on Caris LeVert if the Pacers are already kind of willing to move on from him, clearly not loving what they're seeing, and maybe he's just one of their most tradable pieces and they have to include him in such deals. But for a guy who's been inefficient with his injury history that's just built and built, it's tough to see him landing on yet another team with yet another new coach and trying to fit in immediately and be efficient enough to justify, you know, top 75 valuation.
All right. Well, Ryan, appreciate you breaking this down.
Too fast, as usual, Matt.
Too fast. Whoever's idea this was, terrible idea, whoever came up with this concept.
Chastise them if you find them.
Okay. I'm going to look into that. Ryan, thanks. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Matt.
Who do we have next? I know who we have next. It's Raphael Johnson. Raph, what's happening?
Not a whole lot. You?
You know, not much. I believe we're going to talk some New York Knicks here.
Yes,
and
yeah.
A name that really I know I haven't talked about too much on this podcast recently, Mitchell Robinson. Let's start there.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson. That was the most recent change that Tom Thibodeau has made to the starting lineup, where Mitchell has moved to the bench. Nerlens Noel started last night. And the early returns are very positive for Robinson, who noted that his conditioning has been an issue. Coming off the bench, you know, he played 22 minutes, 11 points, 14 rebounds, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and 4 for 6 from the field, 3 for 4 from the foul line. An outstanding line from him. And I think I've seen people discuss this as a bit, you know, kind of concerned that the loss of minutes could lead to a decrease in fantasy value. I'd actually go the opposite direction because of the conditioning concerns that Robinson has stated himself. And we've seen him get tired, play 5-6 minute stretches and get a bit fatigued and start to make mistakes with regard to fouls and other things. Playing shorter stints off the bench and being able to go up against some backup centers may prove to be beneficial for him fantasy-wise. At least it was last night. And I think it can be moving forward as well.
I think we all, a few years ago, I've lost track of time, had kind of visions of Mitchell Robinson blossoming into a fantasy superstar. Yeah. It feels a little bit like he's just settled into being like a solid, like low-end big guy. I mean, you know, the last couple of years, his numbers are kind of similar, you know, 7 to 8 points, around 8 boards, mm-hmm. 1.5 blocks last year, 1.8 this year. I mean, I guess when I look at that, though, bench or no, I guess like we kind of know what he is, and that's fine. And it's all okay. Like, he's fine. I don't think we think he has like a huge ceiling, even though he did show a little bit of that last night, mm-hmm. Raph. I mean, do you feel like that's kind of what you see is what you get right now with Mitchell Robinson moving forward?
Yes and no, I guess I would say.
Okay.
You know, I don't think we're going to be expecting the world from him. This isn't a Time Lord-like situation by any stretch. Like, I think
right.
Robert Williams has a much higher upside than Mitchell Robinson. I think we'd all agree on that. But like, I don't think if I had Mitchell Robinson before last night's games, I wouldn't have dropped him, and I definitely wouldn't drop him now. Just because I want to see what he can do with the limited, comparatively speaking, the limited minutes. And like I said, the one game returned very good, but let's see what he can do these next few games and see if it sticks.
Next up, we were going to talk a little bit of RJ Barrett in our remaining couple minutes here.
Yeah, RJ Barrett has not been a fantasy favorite of mine, because he's primarily a scorer. when the shots aren't falling, you don't really get much defensively. But he was outstanding last night. 32 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, 7 for 8 from 3, and 11 for 20 from the field overall. He had himself a night, to say the least. And
I
was a bit concerned because of the number of young wings that the Spurs have, but it didn't matter. You know, he got to his spots. He was able to knock down those corner 3-pointers that he was really good for before that slump. But I'm not sold on him long term, you know, because of the lack of defensive numbers. He had the 2 steals last night, but the thing is, 0.6 steals, 0.2 blocks per game for the season, was that fool's gold? So I would exercise some caution here with RJ Barrett, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the good news with RJ Barrett is around 15 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, almost 2 threes, and it really stops there because, you know, as you alluded to, no defensive stats to speak of, 0.5 steals, 0.3 blocks, bad percentages. So in fantasy, he's like a points and threes guy with bad percentages. This is not exactly something for me to get too excited about. And by the way, Jared points out he and Ryan, I guess, had some not so nice things to say about RJ Barrett in terms of fantasy on the podcast. Then he went out and did what you mentioned he did right after that. But I mean, his year by year ranking in 9 category leagues, 311, 173, and 211 so far this year. I mean, it's hard to really believe that there's any real fantasy value in there until we actually see it. He's literally off my fantasy radar, Raph, until we see him get there.
He's still rostered in a lot of leagues merely because he's a starter and you know he's going to get his shots. But the thing is, you're talking about ultra competitive leagues. He's a tough play because of, as we mentioned, the defensive stats or lack thereof.
Right. Well, our time is up, as you heard. Von Dalzell points out in the chat, he'll be coming up in a minute, that RJ Barrett is paying his bills currently. So we will talk about that in a few minutes. Raph, thanks. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Before we get to that, though, we are going to get to this. Oh, look who's here. It's Steve Alexander. Steve, good afternoon.
Matt, I love the fact that you have no idea what I'm going to talk about today.
I have a hint. I have a kernel of something.
No, I may switch it up.
Oh.
You have no idea.
Wow. So, okay.
We're going to start with breaking news. Are you ready?
Wow.
Bones Highland. Okay. Bones is back tonight. He's probable.
Okay.
Tyrese Maxey. Sounds like he's back tonight. He is probable. Patrick Beverley's playing tonight. Patrick Beverley's back. Now, here's the one that I'm a little worried about breaking this to you live on the air because your reaction, I just don't know. Solomon Hill, your guy Solo, he's out for the year.
Is it out for the year?
Yeah, out for the year.
Wow, I saw the report.
Breaking news.
I saw the report that he had torn his hamstring off of the bone, which is like... just awful. That's tough.
There's the breaking news portion of this.
Okay, well, I just want to say Patrick Beverley is a guy that I would actually act on in terms of fantasy. I would go pick him up if he got dropped in your league. Because go look back at what he was doing before this groin injury. We talked about expecting Patrick Beverley to get hurt, but he was playing really well. And he is an immediate ad for me if he's on your waiver wire.
Well, D'Angelo Russell's ankle's still jacked up. Like, I haven't seen a report that D'Angelo's playing. So, yeah, I agree. He's worth using it, especially when D'Angelo's hurt.
Okay. Breaking news complete. What's next?
You guys were talking about Mitchell Robinson admitting that he was out of shape. I don't know if you watched any basketball on Tuesday night, but there were some well-known figures from TNT blasting my man Luka Doncic for being out of shape, for laboring up and down the court. And Luka said after the game, he took 3 weeks off after the Olympics and maybe chilled out a little too much, and he's had trouble working his way back with the ankle injury and the other injuries he's dealt with. Despite all that, he had 28 points, 6 boards, 9 assists. My concern is Dallas plays again on Wednesday tonight. So whether Luka plays in that back-to-back remains to be seen. He says he's still in pain. But, you know, if my guy's going to play a little overweight and a little out of shape and still be this good, I can't wait to see what he does when he's in tip-top.
He's gone with the old school Jokic approach of getting ready for the season, which is to not get ready for the season. That was his game plan for this year.
Correct. And now to the pickups of the day. You know,
yes,
we have a behind the paywall. If you subscribe to the Edge stuff, you get this every single night. We do this pickup of the day column. It's kind of fun. And some guys that you and I have talked about recently showed up on that thing last night on a three-game night. Dorian Finney-Smith.
Oh, man.
36% rostered. Had 15.6 boards, 2 assists, 3 steals, 4 three-pointers with Dallas basically back at full strength. That was encouraging, I thought. We talked about him a lot. Talen Horton-Tucker, still starting for the Lakers. He can't shoot his way out of a paper bag. But LeBron, Anthony Davis, Westbrook, all healthy. THT still started, had 12.6 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block. He only hit 5 of 14 shots. He was 0 for 5 from 3. But that's somebody that's worth looking at because those Lakers, they're going to be resting those old guys. You guys spent all that time talking about the Knicks. I never heard Emmanuel Quickly's name, I don't think. 23%, 16 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, a steal, 2 three-pointers. Quickly has scored in double figures, Matt, in 11 out of his last 15 games.
That game against Denver was tough to handle, but go ahead.
He likes having Quickly out there at the end of the game. He had a couple of big threes on Tuesday night, which was pretty cool. And then two more guys, Matt, before my alarm goes off. I'm sure it's getting close. How much time we got?
It's getting close. 34 seconds.
Oh, good Lord. Nicholas Claxton comes out of nowhere. Paul Millsap played 4 minutes last night. Claxton played 21, had 6 points, 9 boards. He had that strep throat or mono or whatever it was that kept him out for 4 months, it seems like. But he's back, and I'm very encouraged by what we saw last night. And then your guy, Jimmy Johnson, James Johnson, 2% rostered.
My God.
Played 25 minutes last night. Millsap played 4. James Johnson had 12 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, a steal, a block, and 2 three-pointers. He's free on your waiver wire in every league imaginable. So those are some names.
As you like to say.
Yes?
As you like to say, Steve, I'm going to let you have James Johnson. I'm gonna go ahead and let you have him.
Hey, I might fire him up for DFS. He's just – Nick Claxton and James Johnson are guys you want to, like, put eyes on. Keep an eye on them.
All right. Our time is up. Steve, it's been a joy as always. I will be talking to you very soon.
Fantastic.
Okay. I'm removing you from this thing now. We're going to talk with Von Delzell of NBC Sports Edge and NBC Sports Edge Betting, I should say, and Jared Johnson in just a minute. But first, wanted to remind you to subscribe to NBC Sports Edge Plus and get every tool for every game. Now all our premium tools for fantasy, DFS, and betting are included in one subscription at one low price. You can subscribe monthly or save 20% on an annual subscription. We have made it easier than ever with more tools than ever to play and wager with confidence with NBC Sports Edge Plus. Also, download the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet and enter this week's free NBA pick and roll contest for a chance to win $50,000. This week, we're highlighting matchups between the Cavaliers and Bulls, Knicks and Pacers, and Nuggets and Pelicans. If you don't have the Predictor app yet, download it now.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As we officially say hello to Von Delzell. Von, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, Matt. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. I'm good. I think that our first topic here actually connects, and you mentioned this guy, RJ Barrett, paying your bills. So tell us the story with some unders in the player prop market.
Yeah, so if you're new to betting or just betting in general, the player prop market is where it's been at in the NBA, but the unders are where it's been at specifically. Everyone wants to bet overs. It's not really the route to take. Guys like RJ Barrett, as you've already heard, Darius Baisley, Eric Bledsoe, Spencer Dinwiddie, Kyle Kuzma, all these guys are great under bets long term that'll help you pay your bills no matter how much you like to bet. But Darius Baisley's on an incredible streak. It's Wednesday here while we're recording, so I'll be betting him tonight under 8.5 points. He's done that in 12 straight games. You could just keep on betting that over and over and over. You know, you guys talked about Patrick Beverley being back, so Eric Bledsoe's gone to the bench. He's lost minutes, lost touches. He's been a great under bet. But even star players, all right? Luka Doncic, Kyle Lowry, Bradley Beal, Joel Embiid, Julius Randle, Steph Curry, all these guys have 60% or better hit rates to the under this season in their points. So I like betting the unders this year. I'm 21-8 in my last 29 because it's way more profitable than betting overs. So unless your name is Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan, you should just be probably sticking to the unders. Or my guy, Trae Young, right here, because he was on fire for a little bit. Nice. I got his high school jersey on. I had to respect your team, Matt. So this was a birthday gift last year. So my favorite jersey.
And that's pretty awesome. I'm a little upset I don't have one of those.
Oh, if he gets on a crazy streak again, I'll have some free money, so I'll send you one.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the Baisley thing is borderline uncanny. Like you said, he's shooting 26.3% from the field in those 12 games. And it's just crazy that it's not 12 single digit games in a row, which it is. It's 12 games of under eight or eight or less. Which one was it?
Yeah, under 8.5 points. So eight or less points.
Oh, 8.5. Yeah.
Crazy.
And Barrett, we talked about Bledsoe, 6.6 points per game in his last 11. Eight of those have been single digits. So good stuff there. I think you mentioned DeRozan and LaVine, and you wanted to talk your predictions for a Bulls future bet. So lay it on us.
Yeah, so that's my favorite team. So I watch every single one of their games. I've been in love with how they look this year defensively. I was worried of how they were going to be this season, but the combo of Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso have been so pivotal to this team's success. If they can get Vucevic going, game in, game out, I think this team is clear-cut, a contender in the East. Now, the only way you can really bet the Bulls is betting them in the Central Division themselves against the Bucks. Now, the Bucks are a team that's going to have to rest Giannis down the stretch. We've talked about a couple other teams like the Lakers who are going to rest their veterans. The Bucks have some injuries right now where they're going to want to be healthy long-term rather than short-term. And Giannis has been day-to-day a lot. So the Bulls are plus 250 to win the division. I like to wait till closer to Christmas and get a better number, like 400 or so, because the Bucks obviously will have a lot of exposure closer to Christmas and New Year's playing those type of games. So you can get a better line on the Bulls possibly, because when the New Year comes around, they're probably going to be sitting or switching up some rotational minutes on those guys and probably signing or trading as well. So I like the Bulls to make a run because they're going to continue to push and try and get better, while the Bucks might get lackadaisical in the end and not really care as much for that one or two seed.
Bulls currently 17-8, second in the East. We've got a couple minutes left, and I think you had some long-term playoff bets that people should think about making right now. So what's the story there?
Yeah, so I do like to talk about the Hawks. Last time I came on here, we said the Hawks were a great preseason bet to win the East. I still think they're a contender to win the East, no matter they have a couple little injury concerns, but they'll be all right. I think the Miami Heat also at plus 550 right now is a very good bet. I said they're one of my favorite teams. I'd like to see how they come out. If you got Tyler Hero with us and listened, you're just basically waiting for that cash to come in right now. He was 20-1 to win sixth man. He's now minus 140, a clear-cut favorite. So that's one way to bet the Miami Heat in addition to Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference. You can get great odds there. But Western Conference, I'm not giving up on the Utah Jazz, Matt. Everyone laughed at me. I got a lot of Twitter, hey, they said the Utah Jazz, the ones that lost four in a row last year in the playoffs. Yeah, I'm still on that Utah Jazz. I think they're going to climb the hill this year, get over that hump. I'm not really backing the Lakers or the Nets in the futures market. I think you'd be a fool to do that. Those rosters aren't championship rosters. You're basically relying on Kevin Durant and LeBron James to carry those teams. So don't forget about the Utah Jazz, who are falling behind the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns. Basically, their hot starts, too. The Jazz are right there with them. So I like Utah, Miami, Atlanta, and Chicago, those four teams to try and throw some lunch money on and get paid back. And I will say, I'm going to Boston and Celtics and Warriors game next Friday. So if Klay Thompson returns, I'm going to get a firsthand look at him and see what the Warriors are really about. But that's going to be an interesting take. Maybe we'll have something to talk about next time on him.
Nice. Looking forward to that. And by the way, I mean, you probably aren't going to get a better – I mean, this is probably the peak opportunity to bet on the Hawks, right? It's sitting at 13-12. Yeah. Unless you did it when they were 4-9, that would have been probably ideal. But
yeah. I mean, 16-1 right now is, I think, where points bet had them at. And, I mean, plus 1,600, like, you know, $10 wins 160. You know, that's a little bit more than some Subway money. So, you know, anything like that long term, I don't think is bad bets to take, especially like the Utah Jazz and maybe my Chicago Bulls. We'll see what they're about. But
all right, Vaughn, great stuff as always. Look forward to having you back here soon.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. See you next time.
Now we are going to I know what we're gonna do. We're gonna bring in Jared Johnson. I had a momentary just lapse there where everything shut down. I was seeing white. I couldn't speak. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Hello, Matt. Matt, you missed the memo.
Oh.
Everyone's clean cut. Vaughn came in clean. Raphael came in clean. I'm clean. What's with that scruff, Matt? You missed the memo.
But it definitely went to the wrong folder. Someone sent it to me.
Today, I want to talk about Franz Wagner. He's been heating up over the past seven, providing mid-round value. 16.7 points, 5.4 boards, 4.7 assists, 1.1 triples, 1.4 steals, and just 1.4 turnovers on 47.5% shooting on a 14.1 field goal attempts a night. And he's doing that in 33.1 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. If we look at his college stats, they're actually pretty similar. 12 points in his sophomore season, 12.5 points, 6.5 boards, 3 dimes, 1.3 triples, 1.3 steals, 1 block, and 1.3 turnovers. He was only getting 9.3 shots in college. So what it looks like to me is just steady growth, steady improvement. I think these numbers are highly sustainable, what he's doing right now. And I think that he could even get better if he starts bringing some more consistent shot blocking numbers to his game.
Yeah, I really like Wagner, and I traded him to you in one of our leagues that we're in together for Will Barton. And you and I had an email exchange where we revealed that we both were losing a little bit of sleep over that trade. I feel like Barton's been slightly better on, like, according to the rankings. You know, I think he's in the top 80, whereas Wagner's just inside the top 100 for the season. But, you know, Barton, I just have that unsettling fear of, like, an injury, you know, an abductor strain or something popping up at any time. Whereas Wagner, you know, is a much younger guy. So, and by the way, the playmaking, his assists the last seven games go like this: 4-4-4-5-5-5-6. And so, you know, 2.8 dimes on the season, really what you're getting is better than that. And I think there's a whole lot to like here. So let's talk about trading back. We'll trade back before, maybe before Will Barton's next injury. I'm going to try to figure out how to time that.
I sent that one early. And after we did that trade, Will Barton continued to go off. And I think Wagner went on and to have like a scoreless performance. So I'm finally getting back on top on that trade. Okay, let's pivot to our second topic. I don't know how deep Ryan got into this one, but yesterday, Ryan and I were talking about Pacers. And as we were talking about Pacers, the news broke that they were basically willing to go through a rebuild with the specific goal of giving more minutes to both Chris Duarte and Isaiah Jackson. Isaiah Jackson is incredibly enticing to me. During his one-and-done season at Kentucky in just 20.8 minutes per game, he had 8.4 points, 6.6 boards, and 2.6 swats per contest. And and then in the summer league finale, he tied the Las Vegas record with a 7-swat performance in just 21 minutes. So there's massive shot-blocking potential here from this man. And when I hear that that he was specifically named, that he's the guy they want to give more minutes to, and not interestingly, Goga Batadze was not mentioned at all in that column from Shams. So that gives me a lot of hope. Now, I'm not saying go out there and grab Isaiah Jackson this moment, but I'm saying definitely have him on your watch list. I don't know, 20-team league? Yeah, go get him right now. But he has the potential. He really does have waiver wire pickup of the year potential if the trade goes where they're sending out centers and not receiving them.
How do you time that? I mean, I think you don't want to waste that you know, a bench spot on Isaiah Jackson for weeks and weeks right now, but you also don't want to lose out. I mean, this is just a case where,
no,
you know, no. Maybe you beat someone in the lead up to the trade deadline as we get a little closer, like you pick the right moment and do it then. Like what would you do?
I think, yeah, once we get, because trades like this, if they're looking to shop both Miles and DeMontis,
right,
that's not easy. I mean, I'm sure that they have a lot of interest from the league, but those are two high quality players. You want to get the best possible value you can if you're in the GM position. So yeah, I would say once we get, just put them on your watch list. As we get closer to the deadline, really start paying attention. And, you know, once that Woj or Shams or Haynes bomb comes.
All right. Well, we got 5 seconds left. Any other topics you want to hit?
No, man. I think we got a good, solid, clean cut.
We timed it almost. We timed it almost perfectly. So close. So close. Well, Jared, it's become a tradition. I don't know if he's ready for it, but the last word from Raph.
Clean.
Raph. Raph, you got a laugh.
Wait. Dude, I didn't really have anything to say this week.
I'm going to paraphrase you. What about you? You had some well wishes for Solomon Hill in the chat.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because when he went down, he almost did a full split. And watching him walk back to the locker room was a painful sight. So, yeah, you wish him the best, and you tear a muscle completely off the bone. That ain't good at all. So
that's brutal. Yeah.
And the Hawks have been just killed with injuries on the wings, as you obviously know. So, yeah, guess we'll be seeing some Jalen Johnson a little sooner rather than later.
Or a lot of TLC. A lot of Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot, who did hit 7 threes in their last game. So super deep leagues, I guess. And Bogdanovich out a couple more weeks. So super deep leagues. I guess you maybe go at TLC. I say that with some trepidation. All right. That will do it for us. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen. Take a second to rate and review us as well. We're here every Monday through Friday throughout the regular season. I want to say thanks to everyone for listening and for watching live. And thanks to all of our writers, Ryan, Steve, Vaughn. And a reminder, by the way, to catch Vaughn on the Bet the Edge podcast. And thanks to you, Raph and Jared.
Adios.
Soon.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.